Welcome to the BPD Bunch. I'm your host, Sani, and today I'm here with my best friend, Rebecca, Madurama and Choi, Jay and Georgia, and Katya and Kay. We are continuing our conversation from Wednesday about friendships with BPD. If this is the kind of stuff that you're interested in learning more about, please make sure to like, subscribe, and turn on your notifications so that you do not miss a single episode. What's really cool about this group is that we have two friendships where both people have BPD and two friendships where only one person has BPD. So we're going to talk about these different types of dynamics. Madurama and Choi, Kay and Katya, what is it like navigating a friendship when both of you have BPD?
For us, we have spent most of our friendship not knowing both of us had BPD. I mean, she got diagnosed only a few months back. I don't want to make it sound like I am glad she has BPD, but the whole both of us being diagnosed thing like has kind of brought a lot of hope and a lot of kinship in my life. When I was learning about what BPD was, there were mostly just negative representation of this diagnosis. And I have kind of tried to over-identify with my symptoms. Like, even if I was not a very impulsive person, I would just go and do impulsive things because, you know, that's what people with BPD do anyway. And I have BPD, so it means that I would want to do something very reckless. And so I've always spent my life looking at myself in a negative light and in a very horrible person and how can I deserve good things kind of way. And while I'm like being on recovery, I'm just like every day is a struggle to change that narrative. But when she got diagnosed, it was always such a joy to be with you, and you've never once made me feel horrible about myself. So if you and I have the same thing, then that means I'm also not a horrible person myself. I did not see Shoya as somebody who was a person with BPD symptoms. I saw her as my friend who was struggling. And it was a very, like, very welcome change in perspective for me. And now we can definitely, like, learn skills together and deal with hardships together and also joke about our symptoms together. So that's a good part.
To start off, you are not a horrible person, period. And secondly, I can feel emotions very largely and almost as largely as her. So however sensitive she is to an issue, that feeling is not very unknown to me. Of all my friends that I have, I've felt most connected to her. And when I got my diagnosis a few months back, I was absolutely not expecting this. But then I spoke to her and then I realized that, well, I saw her and she made it through. And now I have her to help me guide through this. And together we can surely just get better, even if it is a struggle every day. So, yeah, I think it's actually great that I have a friend who can feel as strongly as I do and who can understand how I feel.
I definitely agree with what's been said so far. There are so many benefits to having a friendship with somebody who shares your diagnosis because, you know, they understand you on a level that maybe other people can't. But then the flip side of this, and I hope that you don't mind me saying this, Kay, is that I have found that because I've got someone who is such a good fit for me, it does mean that sometimes I subconsciously close myself off to the idea of friendships with other people. And I have found that most of my other friendships are with people who are neurodivergent or people who have other personality disorders because they tend to be more accepting of the quirks and the eccentricities that come with BPD and the other condition that I have. But I do feel sometimes that maybe I need to be a little bit more open-minded and diversify my friendship circle because everyone who I surround myself with does have a very similar view of the world to me. And I do feel sometimes the fact that I invest so much emotionally in this relationship, even though you're not my FP per se, that does sometimes mean that I do self-isolate a little bit and that I'm a bit reluctant to maybe get to know other people because of the importance that I place on our particular relationship.
When I was diagnosed, I hated my diagnosis. I hated myself, to be honest. There was a lot of like shame and hiding myself away. And it was like that for a very long time. And it was only when Katya came out and started talking about her diagnosis and doing all of the fantastic work that she does. And it kind of made me sit back and realise, as like, the bits that I hate about myself are the bits that I love about her. And so all those bits that I'd been kind of like really critical of and felt a lot of shame for, I kind of went through this kind of process of learning to love myself. And I don't think if we hadn't have shared the same diagnosis that I would have gone through that process. I think there would still be this huge part of me that hides away. And now, like, I own it. And it makes me feel really privileged and really humble to have that and to have, like, been through that process of self-discovery. And I just, yeah, I hope that it's been equally as a blessing for Katya as it has for me.
So then for me and Rebecca and Jay and Georgia, how do you navigate friendship when only one of you has BPD?
Honestly, I have to say, it's been pretty easy for me. I think it's just testament to who Jay is and how well he communicates. But I think it's super important to be very open and honest with one another. And Jay was very clear from the beginning, like, I don't want you to therapize me. I don't want you to try to fix my problems. I just want you to be my friend, right? And I think that that's something that if you care about someone, it's really hard not to do. So I see how that could be a struggle for a lot of people. So I think for me, it just was really important to listen to him and not try to find, you know, a cause for what might be bothering him or not try to fix whatever is. And I think that was really important for us to grow closer and keep our relationship going. I think also just in the same realm, not try to focus on it all the time. Like, I think that it, at the time we were getting to know each other, it was important that we did fun things together and we had a similar idea of what was fun. And, you know, we didn't want to just be talking about it all the time. So I think finding things that we enjoyed to do together was really, really good for us. And I would recommend that as well.
I think the communication element was really important for us. But I also think the reciprocity, I tried very actively to reciprocate what was being given to me. So even though I was going through a lot, I did make time for Georgia. And there were times now that I've come out of crisis periods and I'm in functional recovery where I've been able to give back. Last year, for example, Georgia wasn't having the best time. And so I flew to Toronto for the weekend just to give her support, be around, hang out. And I think those things kind of are, you know, if you can do those kinds of things, then it can be really impactful. And I think it demonstrated that, you know, we did have a reciprocal relationship, which I think was quite important for both of us. And I just on the piece that she mentioned about, you know, not wanting to be fixed, I think the best thing about my relationship with Georgia is that Georgia just accepts what I'm saying and doesn't feel the need for us to get into it. Sometimes I just want to say it out into the world and do nothing with it. I just need to get it out of me. I process externally, so I talk a lot and a lot and a lot. But it's usually only for that reason, not because I want somebody to chime in. I think something that was quite important for us is that even when I was going through a really difficult time, some of the ways that Georgia could support me were actually just simple. Like, she would come to my room and dance around and play. We'd play music together, and my mood would change with things like that. I would feel less low, but those were not, I don't know if this will make sense, but those are not like, you wouldn't see them and think like they're somebody trying to make you feel better or whatever. Like, it's more just natural. Like, you're just having fun with each other. Even if I'm laying on the bed and sulking a little bit, soon I would come out of that and join her and we would have fun together. And I think that it was really important because I think a lot of other people around me at the time saw their role as needing to get in and fix and didn't realize that they were stressing themselves out and they were kind of taking that out on me when I didn't ask for that, you know? And I think this was one of the only relationships where that didn't really happen.
You go first. I want to hear what you have to say.
I want to hear what you have to say. I think our friendship is interesting. Because, you know, if I'm someone who's more emotionally sensitive, Rebecca is kind of like the opposite, who's like less emotionally sensitive than the average. And I think over the course of our friendship, that disparity has made it difficult for us to figure out how best to communicate with each other. Because I have felt at times like I'm like sharing something with her and she's trying to solve my problem, because she's always looking at things from a very like logical, let's solve the issues perspective. And I'm just like, just kind of trying to get stuff out of me. I can remember times where she was genuinely trying to be helpful. You know, have you remembered this? Have you done that? I mean, whether she was aware of it or not, she probably could pick up on like my ADHD issues in high school and was kind of like trying to help me out by reminding me of things. And I always took that to be, oh, she doesn't think I can do this. I always took those things as criticisms. And I think it's taken us a long time to sort of figure out our like rhythm. But I think now, for those of you who have watched the show before, Rebecca's name is in the credits. She's one of our producers. She does a lot of stuff behind the scenes. And now, like, in a way, I've found a way to make her, like, logical, like, critical thinking work. But in the sense that she, like, helps me with the things that I will forget. And I'm able to be a little bit more accepting of my own faults. And instead of being like, oh my gosh, like, she thinks I'm terrible because I can't remember this. It's like, she's almost like an external memory drive, you know, like helps me keep track of the things that I know I'm not good at. It took us a while to get there, but I think in the end, our differences have actually really helped because we're able to both fit different parts of our different sides, I guess, of our friendship and come together and make it beautiful.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that while it was a difficult challenge to navigate, especially when we were younger, that now we really have a very balanced friendship because what you bring to the table and what I bring to the table fit together in a very real way. And in some ways, I think this is the best our friendship has ever been. It was hard to get here because, like, working together added in this whole new element that, you know, they say, like, never be roommates or work with your friends, right? Because it can be very difficult to put those two things together. In our case, it's just made it better because we have been communicating so much more and have been really naming what's happening. So I remember I texted you recently and I said, hey, did you do XYZ? And then I followed it up with, also let me know if I'm checking in too often. And I really wanted to open that space for if you're like, nope, I've got my BPD notebook, I don't need you, that would have been totally okay. But if you feel the opposite of, oh my God, I'm going to forget and then I'm going to feel horrible, that I can jump in and say, hey, just a reminder, do this thing. And I think that the place that we've ended up is actually really healthy because we're over communicating as you kind of do when you're in on a project together. And that really helps the rest of our friendship as well.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Thank you everyone so much for watching. We hope you got a nugget of wisdom to take with you on your journey. Normally on Sundays, we do have our brunch episodes, but this week we're switching it up. This topic is so big and dense and there's so many things to cover. So this Sunday, we're going to continue our friendship conversation. We're going to dive into something called the friendship cycle. So we'll see you Sunday. And then next Wednesday, we've got a brand new topic for you. We'll see you next time.